Here we go. All right, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Georgetown Council ordinary meeting of the 22nd of July 2025. Welcome. We'll start our proceeds with our acknowledgement of country. The Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Litramarina tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks for the caring of country, seas and skies of Kini Mata to Kinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of Pakana people in Litruwita. I just want to advise everybody that as per local government regulations that an audio recording of this meeting has been made. All people attending this meeting are to be respectful and considerate towards all other people attending this meeting, and that any language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. All right, item number one, our attendance, leave of absence and apologies. We do have apologies from Councillor Tim Harris and Councillor Winston Mason, and we do have our own General Manager Shane Power, who is not available today. So Andrew McCarthy, who is our Director of Infrastructure and Development, is our Acting General Manager. So welcome, Andrew. Item two, confirmation of the minutes. Our ordinary council meeting held on the 24th of June. Can I call for a mover and a seconder to move the council minutes, please? Our mover is Councillor Ashley, seconded by Councillor Orr. Thank you, Councillor Ashley. Thank you.
Yeah, I find the minutes to be right. All correct.
Thank you, Councillor Orr.
To be workshopped and nothing further to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Open to the floor. Any speakers for, against, or questions to? There being none, we'll put that straight to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Are we unanimous?
No.
Or not?
No,
we're not.
I'll abstain, wasn't he?
Okay, so I'm going to call us 6-1, noting Councillor Dawson's absence. Thank you. Item three, late items this month, there are nil. Item four, declarations of interest. Councillors, does anyone have any perceived or actual conflict of interest pertaining to the agenda before them today? Yes, Councillor, we'll start with Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. Agenda item 10.1, sponsorship requests. The nature of my interest is my employer has put that application forth for consideration, so I'll remove myself from the room. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Orr?
Just knowing agenda item 11.1, the lease at Esplanade Lyworth. I'm the treasurer of an organisation who has a use agreement on that such land.
Thank you very much.
I'll stay in the meeting.
Thank you, much appreciated. It's good to declare. And they say, when in doubt, call it out. Public question time. The period set aside for public question time will be at least 15 minutes. Questions given on notice will be addressed first. Once questions on notice have been addressed, persons who have registered their interest to ask a question will be called to do so in the order in which they have registered. Persons attending council meetings will have the opportunity to register their interest to ask a question without notice prior to the commencement of the meeting. Council staff will be on hand to assist with the process. Participants cannot ask more than two questions in a row, with a maximum of 2 minutes per question. If a person has more than two questions, they'll be placed at the end of the queue and may, if time permits, ask their further questions once all the other persons have had an opportunity to ask their questions. Persons who have not registered their interest to ask a question will be given an opportunity to do so. Following all those who have registered, all questions must be directed to the chairperson. Please try to avoid a long prelude to your question. Get to the question as fast as you possibly can. It would be greatly appreciated. We try and endeavour in every way to give you the best response we possibly can. Thank you very much. We have two questions that have been pre-registered, so I will start. And only because I know the handwriting, I'll start with Mrs. Wooten. Mrs. Wooten, would you like to come and ask your question?
I have to put my sunnies on because I've forgotten my other glasses. In relation to the three trails, when the colonial storytelling trail and the Kana Maluka storytelling experience were first put out for a community response, I made a considered response to both. My response to the Kana Maluka storytelling experience is dated August 2022, nearly 3 years ago. I'd expect there would have been more than mine to this. I don't recall either of them coming back for discussion and approval in an open council until today. I stand to be corrected, but I don't remember it. They seem to have been pushed into the new multi-millionaire, million-dollar advocacy plan that was adopted holus volus by council last December, but never put back out for public consultation or discussion. If I'm wrong, could you tell me the dates when both these multi-million dollar plans came to the open council?
I don't recall, but we'll have to take that on notice and give you that response.
Okay. And if this discussion today is the next step, why are the community responses not included in this agenda?
Again, it's a tremendously good question. If you, with your indulgence, we'll give you a response
in
writing.
Next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine. All right, and I have a question. Mr. Judd, would you like to come forward? A couple of questions, actually. But since there's not a queue, you might as well just go for it.
I will, thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Councillors. Just a few things I need some clarification around. The Council reached out to the community requesting feedback to the survey that you guys put out. That was months ago. When can the community expect results from a survey to be made public?
That's community, right? Or Rick? Thank you very much. Rick Dunn, who is our Director of Organisational Performance and Strategy. Microphone, please. Through the chair to Rick.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thanks for the question. Fortunately, we got really, really good response to the community survey. It was extensive. Currently, right at this moment, we're doing a collation of all the answers to the questions to the point where we will present it to councillors and the community, I'd expect within the next 4 weeks or so. That's our indicative timeline now. There were a number of issues that were connected with other issues, and that's why it's taking a bit of a time there, particularly with the comments that were provided. So we're trying to provide a true and accurate reflection of all those comments in a summary document.
So a month, roughly?
That's what, sooner rather than later, is my hope. But, I'll put a month timeline on that. We're getting very close to be able to having a bit of a deep dive into the results.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mackenzie Drive, Whitehead. Basically, what's the projected costings for completion of the curb and the channelling and the road range statements there?
It just seems to be going on forever. Acting General Manager or Director of Infrastructure.
Thank you. So the Mackenzie Drive project has a total budget of $455,600. So at the end of June, we're at with actuals and commitments, we're at $361,000. We're expecting, with by the time the project is completed, that we'll be in and around what the total forecast budget is. So the total approved budget is.
You're not expecting a runoff then?
No, not at this stage. There's a few things that still need to be resolved with stormwater down one of the easements at the end of the cul-de-sac. There is a footpath that's going on the northern end, and just some associated works with that, but we're expecting to be within the project budget at this point. Yeah.
Cool, thank you. A delegation of council visited some local and interstate aquatic centre / swimming pools. It has previously been requested that the names of the interstate centres visited that were similar in design and concept to what is envisaged for Georgetown, i.e. varying depth across the pool. Will the details of these centres be made public?
Yes. In short, absolutely. I have no hesitation.
So roughly when and how?
We can definitely provide a response into the next council meetings in response to the question. We'll take that on notice and provide that in the next agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And so just to be really, really clear, we saw an eclectic, broad range. Some of them were way out of our price range. There were elements of all of them that were very educational and informative. So if you look at the list of them, I assure you, you're not going to find one that mirrors what we are building in Georgetown, but there were elements that were highly informative.
Hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jed, come. Just do your name and address.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I say, glad you're here. I've only just made it here today, so I'm not overly prepared. But that's about item 10.2 on the agenda, which is sponsorship requests for the Georgetown Folk Club for the Tama Valley Folk Festival, which is a 3-day event. And I must state that. Over the decades, I've had an involvement with that as a volunteer. I'm currently on the committee, but I'm not here to speak on behalf of the committee. I must state that. I've just come of my own accord because I just read this agenda and have some concerns about the sponsorship.
Yep.
And which last year that sponsorship was $20,000 and then about approximately $2,500 was taken out. For the hire of the venues, 2,400 and something. This year, the festival put in for 20,000, and I must state that for 34 years, we'd always had the venues as an in-kind support. There was never, ever a cost. Last year, I think there was, in my opinion, I'm on the committee, I think someone, our committee decided, not that I actually lost out on that vote, to say we wouldn't that we'd pay for the venues. I thought that was a major mistake because after 34 years of having discretion to let us have that for in kind. Anyway, we know what's happened this year. It's come into the mix. That's been added on. We asked for 20,000 this year plus the venues. That's been added on as a cash figure. I see here on page 40. It says. 22,500. Well, that 2,500 for the venues isn't spendable money. Down here where it says on the same page 40, a budget line item of around $9,000 plus in-kind facilities and equipment fee remission, that was a previous time that was looked at as in-kind, that hall thing. So I'd prefer that to probably be looked at as in-kind because it's not spendable money. The question is, could that be looked at that way? And another question is, try not to be too long-winded.
Thank you.
I've noticed there's a reduction that the officer's recommendation is not to give $22,500, which, as I've stated, $2,500 of that's only in kind. And now it says. Provides $15,000 sponsorship to the Georgetown Folk Club towards the Tama Valley Folk Festival event to be held in Georgetown. So as I see it, take your $2,500 off for the venue thing, that's $12,500. And overall, that's over a 33%, a one-third reduction in our sponsorship. Mm-hmm. And right, as I said, I'm speaking on my own behalf, not officially for the committee, as I see it, in this day and age with all the inflation and price rises on everything, it's getting tougher and harder. And I must point out, all of the people on the committee for the Folk Festival, from the coordinator down, nobody gets paid 1 cent. All volunteer. They're not an organisation that has paid people that can actually do stuff for an event. So, and so most of those people, there are some new ones on the committee in recent years, but there's ones that have been there for decades working their guts out for the community.
Thank you.
And what I'd like to state is, and I know people get upset because I've got a bit to say. I think it's important, and I think after 34 years, well, I'm getting some looks, that's all. Sorry, I shouldn't look over there. But after 30, this will be the 36th year, what I'd like to ask is that we at least get what we got last year.
Thank you.
I know we did ask for an extra for
thank
the halls.
Thank you. I'm going to pause you, please, Jeremy.
Yes.
Please. So thank you very much. Your time is up, but thank you very much. So it's a tricky situation as the chair, so I've got to achieve this balance. So on one level, I don't want to foreshadow an outcome to a motion.
Oh, and you can't. I know that.
I can't. I think the information that you have provided in the form of a question is helpful for the people around this table to be aware of. So I thank you very much for that. But I'm not going to give you a personal response except to say that I'm confident that this will surface as your elected members debate this item.
And I know you can't, Mr. Mayor, and I know that's a question for around the table for the councillors.
That is correct.
And I'll just make one little request. Going forward, could councillors please show a little bit of kindness and at least give us what we got last year, because it's really, really tough. And I know some people don't like our event, but it's not for everybody. But it is part of the jigsaw that makes up things in the community. And I think it does have a health benefit and a mental health benefit, because I'm pretty sure people who go there are not badly affected. That would be a good effect on people to go to the various entertainments, and even on a mental health ground. And I just ask for a little bit of kindness. Could we at least have what we got last year? And I'm asking that of the councillors to consider that when they vote today.
Mr. Doty, as always, thank you very much for your question. We do appreciate it.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, kindly. Anybody else have a question today? Yes? Just as usual for the audio recording, just please state your name and address.
Yep. Hi, everyone. My name's Chris Atwell, and I declare that I am the president of the Georgetown Folk Club and the festival director of Tamar Valley Folk Festival.
Thank you.
My question today is without prejudice and without judgment, but just in the interest of transparency in such tough times, when I've read the agenda and see that it's been recommended we are offered less money than last year. My question is, can Georgetown Council please tell us how much money has been allocated to the 2026 Winter Solstice event run by council?
Okay. It's a reasonable request, and we're going to give you a again, I'm trying to get this balance right between making sure that the debate around the Folk Festival stays the debate around the Folk Festival.
My question, I was declaring who I was mayor.
Correct.
I was being transparent as to
thank
who
you very
I was.
Much.
My question, in the interest of transparency,
thank you.
Is asking how much council have allocated,
and we will take
already it. Allocated, to the 2026 winter
thank
solstice.
Thank you, Mrs. Atwell, and we will take your question on notice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Yes, Mrs. Wooten.
I haven't prepared this because...
It doesn't matter.
I didn't think I'd get back from Meals on Wheels in time. So, but I'd like to speak about the Folk Festival as well.
As long as you have a question, it's specific to having a question. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do
thank
have
you.
A question at the end. But I would just like councillors to realise that, well, it seems to me that what's been put in the agenda has gone on numbers, and because, you know, there's probably only 2,000 might go to the Folk Festival and 5,000 might go to the fireworks or the solstice or whatever, I'd like you to consider that the people that come to the folk festival are here for most of them for 3 days or at least a day. They stop here, they have accommodation, they eat here, they spend their money here over 3 days. You can't come here and just watch the fireworks and then nip off to Launceston or whatever. And as well as that, the numbers that are given are the ones that we have sold tickets to and that sort of thing. There are hundreds of others that just come, and many of them are locals. They just sit around the venues and listen to the free music. They don't pay for anything, but they pay money to go into the pub and have their drinks and their eats and so on. They're there. Some of them are there the whole time. It's longer than the people that go to the events. And so you have to consider that, and that's where a lot of the locals enjoy it. It's their weekend. They don't pay for any events, but that's all part of the thing. And if anyone goes down the street during that weekend, and especially last...
question?
Yeah. Well, would you consider the overall benefits to tourism? People are coming here.
Absolutely. That is part of our strategic objectives.
Would you consider that in any deliberations? I can't see why you would cut $5,000 off a grant application where someone else does all the work.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilson.
Anyway, I'll get off the grandstand now.
I think you made your point. Much appreciated. You made your point. Thank you.
Correction, $7,500, not $5,000.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty. All right, we'll wrap up public question time. So thank you, everybody, for your questions, and thank you to the staff officers. Much appreciated. That leads us to item 6 on the agenda, the General Manager's Declaration. Thank you very much. In this case, it is, I'll amend that to the Acting General Manager, Andrew McCarthy. We have a rare change in normal schedule in that this month we have nothing to process under Section 7 as a planning authority, which takes us straight away to Item 8, the Office of the General Manager. 8.1 acknowledges the council workshops that we conducted on behalf of our community in June and July. Two workshops on Tuesday, the 24th of June, as well as Tuesday, the 8th of July. The attendance, the topics covered are detailed. To accept the report, can I have a mover, please? Councillor Dawson is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Dawson, anything you want to add?
Nothing further to add.
Councillor Ashley?
No, just we had some very interesting discussions at both workshops.
Thank you kindly. Any speakers for, against, or questions? We'll put that to the vote. All those in favour to accept the report, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
We have a unanimous decision. Okay, item 8.2. We have the ALGAT AGM as well as annual general meeting this Friday on the 25th of July. There are two key motions for consideration, being Hobart's proposal to change the Better Active Transport Grant Program, as well as the rating of new energy developments. And those have been workshopped prior to this meeting to get a general idea of where the council and its various different members sit. The officer's recommendation is that the mayor be authorised to vote at the ALGAT general meeting on the 25th of July in accordance with council's strategic direction, policy and resolutions with due consideration to any conference debate on items listed for a decision at that meeting. Can I have a mover or a seconder, please? Or mover and a seconder.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move that the Mayor votes against both ALGAT agenda items. Thank you.
Is there a seconder for Councillor Archer's motion? Yes, you're the seconder? Okay. Heather Barwick is our seconder. Councillor Archer, you are our mover. Take it away.
Thank you, Mayor. My sole reason for moving that you vote against these motions at ELGAT is solely because of lack of information. Don't know what the effect of either of these would be. The first motion on the active transport grant program is, we've got a government that needs to start managing their finances, budget repair, and there's all sorts of different grants that come out of the state government, and I don't know exactly what the motivation of Hobart City Council is to just reinstate this one. I don't know whether it's to do with bicycle lanes or what the story is. And with the other motion, it's complete lack of policy. I can't see complete lack of information on it. Nobody can communicate to me exactly what it is about this renewable energy deposits thing, developments thing. Supposedly comes out of some federal legislation. Well, federal legislation has nothing to do with council rates. So I'm just totally at a loss. Council moves a rates resolution, sends out the rates bill. Nobody's been able to tell me what it is that excludes council from sending out a rates bill. So if they come back with more information, have another crack some other time, but give us some meaty information that I can certainly dive into and understand, and I hope the rest of councillors would be able to. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Councillor Barwick?
Totally agree with what Councillor Archer said, and it was a great discussion that we had to end up. Nobody really understood what was happening. So I quite agree.
Thank you. With that, I'll open it to speakers for or against or questions. Councillor Orr.
I would rather vote for the original officer recommendation, and the reason why is that, as Councillor Archer did say, that we are lacking some information that apparently has been sent to the council but may not to the councillors. But I'll leave it up to the Mayor. We'd rather leave it to the Mayor to find that missing information and have an informed decision and circulate with the other councillors before the meeting on the 25th.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. I'll speak to the motion myself. I'm of a similar disposition. I'm not, certainly not discounting anything that Councillor Archer has said. I think that there is some information that will need to be provided prior to there being any vote at the ELGAT general meeting on Friday. Specifically regarding the rating of new energy developments, there is a piece of information in terms of what the current rating regime is, whether or not wind turbines are treated as chattels or whether they are treated as capital improvements to land or not, and how that impacts the rateable capacity of your local council to generate rates proportionate to that investment on behalf of the community. So not discounting anything that you said, Councillor Archer, I just think that more information should be forthcoming. I think we can do that either by circular resolution or otherwise. So I won't be supporting this. I'm more inclined to go with the officer's recommendation. That's all I have to say. Does anyone else have anything to say? Councillor Dawson.
Thank you. I do completely understand the rationale for Councillor Archer and Barwick putting this motion as stated, but I also understand your position as well, and I think both can be accommodated under the original officer's recommendation. I can't see that our council, after the discussions we had in the workshop, is supportive of either of these motions, so I think you are prudent enough to take that on board before you go to the GAT conference and whatever information you get between now and then.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Anybody else? Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. I'm not sure how I'm going to vote here at the point in time, but my concerns were very similar at the end of the discussion at workshop, at the beginning of the workshop. I thought I knew, so that's, yeah, I'm offering up my lack of knowledge and understanding around trying to understand the energy developments. So I thought that I was supportive of the motion, but until, yeah, when workshop took place and more questions were asked, and yeah, I lost my understanding. So I certainly feel that I need more information, and even if, yeah, we were leaning more towards no, that we could just make that decision. So that's just the part that I'm hung up on at the moment. And with the active transport grant, my concerns were that this looks like it could be heavily geared towards Hobart City Council benefits more so than regional councils. The grant funding was only not cancelled, but expired in June 2025, and to now come and say that there needs to be more funding after reviews and stuff were done. We haven't been given that information. It's very hard to understand where the funding would come from, if it'd be pulled from an area where our community does benefit, to be put into some funding opportunities where our council doesn't benefit. I have not enough information, so it's not looking positive. Thank you.
All right. And Councillor Ashley.
I'm in agreement with probably most people in the room. I just don't think we had enough information on this right from the start. I think that the active transport grant program, to me, looks like it's something that's going to be for more of the south of the state than the north of the state, and also the new energy development. I didn't understand that. I mean, I read up most of the things on that, read up the bylaw. I just didn't understand the background of it all, and until I get some information that I can relatively understand, I'm going to have to agree with Councillor Archer.
All right, so I think everybody's pretty much had a chance to express their opinion, so I'm going to give it to Councillor Archer to close, and then I'll just sum up what you're voting on.
Thank you. I suppose we go look at the Office of Recommendation, you know, that the recommendation is to authorise the Mayor to vote in accordance with Council strategic direction, policy, Council resolutions, blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't think Council has any strategic direction around these LGAT motions or policy or Council resolutions, and it's, I can certainly see it being, you know, well, we haven't been able to be provided with any information today, more other than what's in here. There's reference to Council being provided information, I think it was back in April or something, but that certainly didn't make it to Council laws, or certainly not this Council law. You know, but yet we're asked, being asked to make a decision here over it. Now, you know, I like to be fully informed. I like to, you know, get into depth on things and not just be a rubber stamp. I like to fully understand things, and it may well come there down that, you know, in a couple of days' time, you know, we do get a bit more information. But then I certainly could see that the information would be highly subjective as to whether it's in accordance with Council's strategic direction, policy or resolutions, you know, and that may well be somewhat of a burden on the Mayor as to try and understand whether it is in line with strategic directions, policy or Council resolution. So I think it's, yeah, just clear to... But as I say, whoever's... Well, the LGAT policy director, maybe the LGAT policy director could come to a workshop and explain this stuff to us, you know, or somebody from LGAT, because, you know, nobody at the workshop today could explain it to me. You know, we should have a full understanding of this sort of stuff. But I think welcome them to bring it back if it's not successful, if their motion is not successful, but come back and, you know, present it to a workshop or something there if you want to communicate these things well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Councillors, you are voting on the motion on the board, which says that Councillor determines that the Mayor is diverted the Algate meeting 20th of July 2025 against both motions. To that effect, can I record all those in favour of the motion on the board? Please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Barr, we have Councillor Ashley, and we have Councillor Archer, and we have Councillor Lowe, and we have Councillor Dawson. Against, we have Councillor Keyser and Councillor Orr. The motion is carried. Item 8.3, which is the draft annual plan of 2025. Every year, Council has to produce an annual plan that is in line with a 10-year strategic plan. The report is pretty much a self-explanatory. However, at the bottom of page 25 is the officer's recommendation, and that is that Council adopts the 2025-2026 plan. This has been workshopped a few times with the councillors. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? We have Councillor Orr as our mover, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Orr.
Thank you, Chair. So I move the motion as in today's agenda. It's quite in-depth document that's been workshopped. So I move the motion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Dawson.
Thank you. I'll just read out the background of this, I suppose. It's pretty much Council Community Strategic Plan from 24 to 2030, adopted on the 28th of May 2024. It guides future planning and investment decisions based on the agreed four future directions, which are community pride, prosperity for all in aspects of life, progressive well-resourced communities, and leadership and accountable governance. The Community Strategic Plan of 24 to 2030 establishes direct priorities to achieve the desired outcomes for each future direction. The draft 25-26 annual plan, with the sixth plan to be developed to deliver the Community Strategic Plan. The annual plan will incorporate the adopted 25-26 budget estimates in accordance with the provision of the Local Government Act 1993 and applicable Australian accounting standards. This annual plan includes specific actions to be delivered in 25-26 and continues Council's journey to achieve the future directions of its Community Strategic Plan. I think it's part of Council's governance module that we need to put an annual plan together for the community so they can hold us to account and so that councillors and staff are held to account as well. And I support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Councillor Orr. Oh, sorry, Councillor Orr is the mover. All right, with that, I'll open the floor to any speakers for or against or questions to Councillor Barwick.
Mr. Chairman, on page 25, it states the final draft of the 25-26 annual plan will be presented to elected members. It should be was presented.
Fair enough. Thank you for that catch. Appreciate it.
Okay, but there are some things that I have concerns about, and I hope that we continue to do in this next 12 months consultation face to face with the community. There's some issues in this document that concerns me. First off, it looks at and talks about, like we did, we've notified some of the people from the YMCA that the council were going to debate the expressions of interest that is out, going to be put out there for the YMCA, and I had to say to the gentleman, I don't think there is going to be discussions on that today. It is part of the annual plan, which is what we're going to, I've said that's the only area that we're going to talk about that, which did distress them because of the consultations, things they want to talk with the council in their roles of using that hall. The other concern, and that's number two, is our priority behind the swimming pool. Then in also in the annual plan, we've got the issue that we're going to talk about the changing of our rating system and methodology of our rating. I hope we are going to go to the community well before any decision and waste of ratepayers' time by staff is spent here, and see what the community want, if they're happy or they're unhappy. And when I really look at this 12 months of what we're going to be doing, I question it. And I would love to see this council go back to having KPIs. We have no date times. There's no time frames except the stop, start and amber, like the rate, the street lights. There's no dates. We should, like, we know that the swimming pool is going to be completed by October next year. All right, we've got a date for that. We know that, but we don't have any dates for anything else that's in this annual plan at a time frame. And I would love to get back to setting up time frames so that we know. Not have KPIs in there. There is no direction in that sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Anybody else? Well, that will return it to our mover, Councillor Orr.
Yeah, thank you. Interesting comments from councillors regarding rates on the state government is reviewing our rates as well, part of the local government review. So I think probably my personal opinion would be parking that one, but it's up to the rest of the councillors. Community consultation, I'm always for further face-to-face community consultation. We did just recently the road shows, and it'd be nice to get other parts of the community as well. And regarding the YMCA building, I didn't even know the building existed a couple of years ago, being not living in Georgetown itself. And we have visited the building a couple of years ago, and I look forward for the progression of that building and being more utilised. So no further ado.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Orr. So, councillors, you're voting to adopt the 2025-26 annual plan. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, against Councillor Barwick. Motion is carried 6-1. Item 8.4, the Three Trails Tourism Project. This is a project that has been moving along in various different iterations in the background for some time. However, on the 17th of December 2024, our advocacy moved to the Three Trails One Big Story Project, which basically highlights three different sets of narrative, both our Kanamaluka Trail, which is the trail about our Aboriginal heritage, our Colonial Heritage Trail, and the Enterprise Trail about our community's industrial past and future. This is supported by Balba Aluminium, who provided $100,000 of funding. Council put a matching contribution of $100,000 as well. And in essence, what this motion does is it starts at least the advocacy and the initiation of this trail. The Tourist Council Office's comments states, to enhance tourism in the region, the Three Trails Project will embrace new and innovative strategies that offer visitors engaging hands-on experiences centered on Georgetown's rich colonial, cultural and industrial history. The project aligns with Council's 10-year community strategic plan to increase tourism offerings and visitation. The Council Office's recommendation is that Council proceeds with Stage 1 of the Three Trails One Big Story Project, utilising the $100,000 contribution from Balba Aluminium and the $100,000 Council contributions from Carry Forward Project J90034. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Our mover is Councillor Dawson, seconded by Councillor Orr. Councillor Dawson.
I'd like to suppose you've pretty much read through what the officer's comments were there. The Three Trails
project is one that started out a few years back when we looked at the Kanamaluka Trail on its own. We then went and advocated through two different election processes for the importance of this project to be supported, which it wasn't. We missed out on those opportunities. To have a big partner in Kamalka, what do we call it now?
Balbellinium.
To be a partner of that with $100,000 and with council as well, I think that opportunity now to develop the three trails concept into something that we can actually sell to other partners to build on it. I think the heritage section of the trail would be very interesting for people to understand our local colonial heritage. The industrial trail would be very interesting. I know a lot of people that travel around that are retired that like to work out why things are where they are and how communities have survived for the length of time that they have. And the industrial story of Georgetown since the 1950s is an interesting one. And then we've got the Aboriginal history, I think would be a fantastic story to be able to tell people how those communities interacted in and around our area. So I think it's a great story to be told. This is just the first pass of it. We can do some videos and some QR links and that type of thing and sell the story to people so they understand what happens down here, that we aren't just the end of the road. There are things that happen here and there are things that need to be recognised. So I'm very supportive.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Councillor Orr?
Likewise to Councillor Dawson. As being involved in the tourist industry myself, with ADAPT, which one of the things we do try and do is to engage the visitors and have them stay for longer, and more of engagement we have with visitors. They'll come here, stay longer and spend in the area. This also flying on to the rest of the municipality as well. So we do have some great history around the other parts of the municipality, and so this is an initial start where we can grow on that as well.
Thank you, Councillor. With that, I'll open the floor to speakers for, against or questions to Councillor Ashley.
I would just like to see consultation with the community so that the trails are a true and accurate history of the heritage of the community and the town. To me, that's really important. We don't want to be probably getting people behind this that don't have a good understanding of the history and the culture of our town and the culture of the Aboriginal people as well as the culture of the settlers and into the industries. You know, and we could get a really good mix of people together and this could become a really good thing.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. Councillor Bowick.
I'd like to move an amendment to the motion, Mr Chairman.
You may.
And the amendment is that we only proceed with stage one of the project, utilising the 100,000 contribution from Bilbay Aluminium and the 100,000 council contribution that's been carried forward from project J9-0034.
So, Councillor Barwick, just for your, and again, if you still want to move that, you're more than likely, but in the summary on the background, it says that given advocacy efforts have not been successful to date, officers are recommending proceeding with stage one of the project. And it does detail the scope of stage one. So you want the motion to...
I don't want it to go any further.
And the motion does say proceed with stage one. Okay, well, so let me just capture your...
I might change it from stage one and just make it to proceed with... upgrade of the Kalamaluka. That's where we all. This was where it all started.
So just read to me the stage one.
I have to remove stage one, because if I say stage one, you're going to say we'll go on with two and three. No.
Okay. So just what is the motion? Please help me.
Please help me too. After our discussion that we had at the workshop, I just want to move that we only do go back, maybe back to Rio Tinto and advise them that we will be doing the spending the money on the Kalamaluka Trail to get that completed.
So just the Aboriginal history component.
Yep.
Okay, so again, just I'm going to put words in your mouth. You tell me if I'm off the mark or on the mark. So we'll just proceed with the original Kanamaluka Trail concept.
That's the one.
You happy with that?
Yes. Not
Louise, you got that?
Not stages or anything.
Yeah. Proceed with the original.
And I think that's what we were talking about this today.
Point of order.
Kanamaluka Trail.
Point of order.
Trail concept. Yes, Councillor Dawson.
This original motion talks about the three trails. The amendment is completely changing the...
It is, it's not really an
the amendment. The amendment is a new motion.
I think I'm going to agree with you on that one. I think I'm going to say that that is a foreshadowed motion. I think it's substantial enough. Would you agree with that? It's a significant enough change. Well, I think it's in fairness, so let us say that that is a foreshadowed motion. Okay. All right, so I don't have to call for a seconder because it is a foreshadowed motion, so we'll continue debating this motion. If this motion does not succeed, I will come back to you as the mover and then we'll call for a seconder. Agreed? Agreed. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else would like to speak to the motion? Councillor Lowe.
Thanks. I did have some questions around, like we've already approved our advocacy ask for the... which includes the three trails. So for it to be any different than the three trails, we've only just made that decision to go with the advocacy ask for that. So I appreciate that there's the opportunity to just concentrate on stage one, being the Kanamaluka. But I guess my questions and comments come around... I originally thought that we were already approving or already supporting the three trails. There was funding for the Kanamaluka. It's in the advocacy ask. So I was just, I think I was misunderstood as to why we're here today. So then I've listened to the feedback from the councillors and understood that it's not cementing, and this is where I need some clarification, it's not cementing any of our draft plans in writing. It's not locking us in, and I just need to understand that because I do certainly hear the community around the concerns that some things aren't accurate, even with the Kanamaluka trail and the expectation. So it's sort of a concept in itself that we're approving just that we're going to move ahead with the three trails, but in this instance it's only the Kanamaluka trail. Is that...
So how about we do this? So through the chair, firstly to the Acting General Manager on what they mean, and then again to our Director of Corporate and Community. So Andrew, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. So just to confirm that, correct, the council has more recently adopted the three trials as an advocacy project. The funding for this, so the contribution from council, was in relation to the Kanamaluka storytelling trail. But I guess what this is seeking to do is to solidify that that money will be allocated to the three trails project rather than just the Kanamaluka storytelling, so which is in line with the advocacy project that council has adopted. So, yes, it has recently been adopted as an advocacy project, but the original funding for this project was just allocated towards the Kanamaluka storytelling, and then clearly the contribution from Bell Bailey and Minium, that they've stated a preference to also include that enterprise industry trail. So this here is looking to try to get some runs on the board with the money that is there now to start and initiate some tangible elements of that project, the overall project now, given that that money has been there for a little while. So that's where in the report it talks about the promotional films, the brochures, the dedicated website, etc. Those things will then hopefully help us in future advocacy for the three trails. But in essence, this report is really getting the approval to allocate the money that's there to be done, go towards the Three Trails project rather than just the Kanamaluka storytelling.
And then Cheryl may add to the Director of Corporate and Community. Do you want to add anything to that, supplement that?
No, I think that Andrew's summed that up well.
Nailed it. Good. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you. I've got an understanding. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Any other speakers or questions?
Mr. Chairman.
I think I'm going to go to Councillor Archer first, if I may, please. Councillor Archer.
Thank you. I'm still struggling with this concept of this agenda item where we're being asked to, you know, go ahead with this Three Trails tourism project. On the first page of this agenda, on page 27, you go third paragraph below the background, in the background section, and it says work to date has been on developing material for political consumption as part of the efforts, unfortunately without success. Then the next paragraph, this project is supported by Bilbao Aluminium, who has provided $100,000 in funding. Council has approved a carry forward budget of $100,000 to match this funding. So that's saying there that the money's, it's there. It's there to do it. It's, you know, that is for this project. But then it's asking us in the recommendation to approve it, yet the scope of stage one is envisaged to comprise, you know, all these following things. I'd like to understand, look, this, I'm not asking a question here, but I do like to understand where what I am actually approving, and you know, I'm not trying to be cynical, but it looks like we're approving the spending of $200,000 on any of this stuff in whatever ratio, you know. Total anticipated project cost is $2.5 million. Starting to get I'm getting visions of a waste transfer station, you know, that was going to cost a couple hundred thousand dollars, and, you know, it's definitely a lot more than that. I requested yesterday evening under section 28D, I think, of the Local Government Act, you know, documents relating to this item, and I haven't been able to receive them, so I haven't received anything. So basically I asked for detailed costings for this stage one, haven't been supplied them. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, like I think there's probably merit in this, but exactly what's been put in front of us. I mean, you know, if we're approving or if it was a capital works item put in front of us to choose a contractor, I can understand that, you know, with, you know, to reseal a road or whatever, you know, but this is just, you know, asking for our endorsement on something which is a bit vague. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anybody else? Councillor Barwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I again question why officers would suggest that we go ahead with stage one. And again, like Councillor Archer saying, this money, we've had this money all this last, maybe not 12 months of the last financial year, but it has been an agenda item in our agenda. So to me, it's for the Kalamaluka Trail, as what it is in our budgets last year. The other thing, even in this today, there's the money's there. There is no costings to us. And like Councillor Archer just said, there's no contractor. And we're actually okaying something without all the T's dotted, crossed and the I's dotted. In my opinion, because we've got nothing. We're just asking if we can go ahead with doing this. I also have a problem with the fact we applied for grant funding and we were knocked back from grant funding to look at extra work that we wanted. And I think you make a comment in this document that there is no guarantee that future funding can be available. So by starting, there's three different stages in here, and we've been knocked back. I mean, okay, we can try again, but I'm just concerned about where we end up going and the cost to the ratepayer at the end of the day. I just don't support it.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Bowick. Councillor Ashley.
I think that we're not actually approving any spendings in this. What we're doing, we're approving $200K towards doing this project. We're not actually approving anything. Whatever has to come will come back to the table. The council will look at what needs to be done, and then they will approve it. This is only to say this money's available in the pot. Let's get this show on the road. As far as I'm concerned, you can't do costings on something you don't know what's happening yet. So what needs to do is it needs to come back to the table, be looked at, the costings, but I think it will be good to get this project started.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. All right, I'll hand that back to our mover, Councillor Dawson, to close.
Okay, so I'll just sum this up a little bit. And the officer's recommendation says, proceed with stage one of the three trials, one big story project using 100k of contribution for Bell Bay Aluminium and the 100k council contribution for Carry Forward Project J90034. Councillor Ashley is correct in what she says, that this project, or set parts of it, yes, we have $200,000 to spend on this project, but as described in the background comments here, scope of stage one is envisaged to comprise promotional films, brochures, dedicated websites, social media campaigns, targeted marketing plan, self-guided tour maps, and interpretation, signage, and design. Each of those parts, as they are developed or developing, will come back to the table for approval, and that's where we have that, the optics of how the money is to be spent. It's a great project. It's working hand in hand with Bell Bay Aluminium, who's one of our major employers that wants to be involved. It's one of their a big anniversary year for them, and I think this is to walk away from a funding model that where Bell Bay Aluminium has provided support for the community, I think, would be poor. I think this is a great opportunity to work with them and sell our good story, and I support the motion.
Thank you very much. So, councillors, we're going to be voting on the motion on the board, which is to proceed with stage one of the three trails, one big story project utilising the 100k contribution from Bell Bay Aluminium and the 100k council contribution from Carry Forward Project J90034. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson against. We have Councillor Barwick, Councillor Archer, and Councillor.
No, I haven't voted.
You haven't voted?
Yeah.
Have you voted yet?
I'm
saying. Okay, just a reminder that a abstain vote will be counted as against. Okay, so the motion then carries by 4-3. I'll note that Councillor Barwick and Councillor Lowe, and I'll note the abstained, but I technically only need to count abstained votes as against.
Well, section up on the
okay, the motion is carried 4-3. Section 9, infrastructure and development. There are nil. Section 10, corporate and community. I acknowledge our Director of Corporate and Community, Cheryl Hyde, is here with us to shepherd item 10.1 and 10.2. So 10.1 is a sponsorship request for the Georgetown Neighbourhood House. The application request is for $20,000. This is effectively a large evening event. Roughly 5,000, potentially 8,000 attendees. The application is pretty much self-explanatory. Both the scoring, the Budgets.
I move the officer's recommendation. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Just to make sure you're all aware of what you're moving, the recommendation is to provide a $20,000 sponsorship to the Georgetown Neighbourhood House towards the New Year's Eve event to be held in Georgetown on the 31st of December 2025. The mover is Councillor Archer, and it was seconded. Was it Councillor Ashley? I beg your pardon. Who was the mover? Councillor Ashley? Councillor Archer was the mover. And then Councillor Ashley got it. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Archer.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I've done this a couple of times before, and I look forward to seeing probably a little bit different sort of format this year. Look forward to seeing it and give them a go for another year. Well, that's my intention anyway, and we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley.
Yeah, I think this is one of the good events that we have in our town. We seem to be having some very good events and putting our town on the map. And I'd like to see it stay there. We're giving things back to the community so that we can work with them and make sure that all of these communities, these people that work so hard to do these things, I'd like to see them be rewarded for their hard work.
Thank you very much. With that, I'll open the floor to speakers for or against or questions two, noting that Councillor Lowe has left the room. Any speakers, questions? Councillor Bark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard you make a comment about 5,000 people at the last report of the acquisition. It was 4,202 that attended. And I noticed that they would like to get 8,000 people. Well, that would be great because it's more than what our municipality has, which I think if it can get out there. I actually, as at the workshops, have always supported this event. I believe that it's good for the kids and it's good for the community. And those that may even sit on the other side of the river and watch the fireworks as they happen over here. But I question why we are looking this year at the sale of alcohol at this event. I'm not sure that they had alcohol last year, but in the document at the back, it mentions they're having a wet area. I just question about that happening at the event, whether it's really something that needs to happen there, but that's up to the committee and the council about that. But I have to say that I support this application and everything that, and the community that's up at Neighbourhood House that are working, doing it. It's not easy to run any events. It doesn't matter whether you're a business person with staff behind you doing it or your volunteers are the people that keep everything going in our community. And I support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Anyone else? Councillor Orr.
Yeah, so I believe I didn't support this last year and I wasn't the only councillor. The reasons why is I wasn't happy with some safety issues of the previous events. I didn't attend last year, but previous years. So I'm for the actual move of the event. So hopefully they can address those issues. Also moving into the Regent Square area, it does utilise the area we develop for such events. Having also an opportunity for them in the future, fencing off certain areas and maybe looking at reducing costs to the council by and then start charging a small fee for participants to turn up. So that's my personal opinion. So I'll be supporting it this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone else? I'll move it back to our mover, Councillor Archer, to close.
I think it's all been said. Thank you.
Well, that will put it to the vote. So, Council, you're voting on the motion on the board, which is that Council provides $20,000 sponsorship to the Georgetown Neighbourhood House towards a New Year's Eve event to be held in Georgetown on the 31st of December 2025. All of those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you very much. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6-0. Motion is carried. Please invite Councillor Lowe back into the room. Thank you. That moves us to item 10.2, this time the sponsorship request from the Georgetown Folk Club. The
Mr. Chairman, I've got my light going. I'd like to move.
You would like to move, okay. Hold on, let me get to my note-take section. So the motion you'd like to move is, go for it.
That council provides a $20,000 sponsorship to Georgetown Folk Club towards the Tamar Valley Folk Festival event to be held in Georgetown on the 16th, 17th and 18th day of January 2026. I seek a seconder.
Just could you read that one more time to me, please?
Want me to say it again?
One more time, please.
That council provides a $20,000 sponsorship to Georgetown Folk Club towards the Tamar Valley Folk Festival event to be held in Georgetown on the 16th, 17th, 18th day of January 2026. It's the same as your motion.
God, it just increases the 15 to 20, really. I get it. Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Barwick. I just let Louise capture that. Mm-hmm. All right. Can I call for a seconder in support of that? We have Councillor Ashley.
I would just like to say, though, in regard to the $20,000 sponsorship, I would like to think that the hall and the amenities were paid for, that we didn't give those in kind.
That's a different motion then.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, no. That's not the motion that's being. So you still want to be the seconder?
Hmm? Pardon? Yeah.
No?
I don't have a seconder.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. So because Councillor Ashley is putting a provision of the fee remissions to be included in the $20,000 as seconder, which is that, have I misunderstood?
I just want to get some clarification on that. So the $20,000, they pay their for hall hire and that out of the
$20,000? It's out of the
$20,000. Right.
Correct.
No.
No, that's Councillor.
No, that's, no, it's not, I don't want to, sorry, get me right. It's $22,500 that I've bought. I would like to give them $20,000
yes.
And
they will
waive the hire.
And waive the whole
hire. Yeah, and waive them. Okay. Not waive them, but no. Don't pay for the $2,500. You know what I'm saying, don't
you? Yeah. The thing is that they get $20,000 the same as.
But hang on a second. So it's not about that. It's about whether Councillor Ashley is supporting your motion as it stands.
I will support it.
Good. So you're supporting Councillor Barwick's motion as it stands. Yes. Thank you very much. Councillor Barwick, you're our mover. Take it away.
Thanks, Heather, for that. Councillor Ashley, for that. There's... look, I could pick out so many things that are concerns with me in this document, but I don't... The equal, where did I find it? We had a workshop last week, and the weighting that was put up against the two items, the weighting of the folk festival and the weighting of the cracker night, they both equaled, they both had the same weighting. But in this agenda, 2 weeks later, the weighting has been changed, which I was told would happen at the workshop. But this Tamar Valley Folk Festival put 40 hours of entertainment over 3 days. 40 hours of entertainment. And they're all volunteers. They bring people in from all over today we mentioned this workshop, and dare I say it, as far as I'm concerned, there are seven lines that can be addressed in that about how you're going to promote the people that give this grant, like you say, the council. There's one item in there that says you only need to tick one box. But again, if you only tick one box, you get thought about totally different about how you get rated when you go to ask for a grant. But when you tick six of the seven, and there's the one that's missed out, there's a big issue, which I won't say what was said today, but there's a big issue. To me, if the Tamar Valley Folk Festival do support and promote this council, doesn't matter where they are, they promote the council. The council did not even provide the flags and stuff that was to be supplied for their last year conference. Festival. You, Mr. Chair, said that you heard the festival was not so great last year. Well, that was the best festival that they've ever had. You know, I mean, people may raise eyebrows and think about things, but I speak it as it is. That was a great festival. The town was alive. The council had people in this municipality that had never been here before and absolutely loved it, all because of the folk festival. It's been going for this long and started with $1,000. A couple of years ago, they got $9,000, and around this table, I had to fight for that. Yet we still gave money to the neighbourhood house for the crack. No, it might have been out. We might have done that function ourselves. I'm not sure. Where we gave the 3-day conference $9,000, yet there was $15,000 handed out for one night for the cracker night. To me, we've got three great festivals that happen in this community, and as far as I'm concerned, there is no comparison with... Everyone is different. One is... Everyone's celebrating what we just passed. This one here is been going. It's the longest festival ever in Georgetown, and probably the longest festival in the state. I don't know that other festivals that have been going as long as 36 years this year. And we have been there, and we have got to continue to support these volunteers. That's what they are. They work 7-8 months of the year getting this all up, and they're volunteers. They're not paid, as you heard this morning. We will see how... we've heard our Director of Community say that the amount of time and effort that for her one day, for the one day night of the solstice, really wore them out, the working of that. Now imagine doing a 3-day one. That is not easy work. And as far as I'm concerned, I think that we should, with open heart and a lot of love, and say thank you for them bringing these people and filling our town up with visitors that come with a ticket, and with their tickets they stay the 3 days. I know you complained about not having any figures that asked how many people turned up. I think you need to re-look at your form that they fill in, because it doesn't actually ask that. It asks how many interstate. It does not ask how many people turn up in there. The form that had to be filled up this time was a 2024-25 application. We haven't even got a new application form for this year's grants. We're using last year's forms, and we need to really catch up with all that. I mean, Cheryl laughs about it, but it's the thing is, I'm a bit disgusted to see that we have asked for less money for the folk festival. I don't see it's any less than our Cracker Night.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Councillor Ashley.
Thank you. Look, I just want to say I love to promote Georgetown. I'd like to see Georgetown moving forward. As many events as we can get in this town and bring people into our community, that's what we want. You know, we're here to help our municipality and take our community forward, and that's what we need to do. I praise all involved with the Folk Festival, the Winter Solstice, the New Year's Eve event. They're all events that bring different people, all different people from every different area of Tasmania to our town. How lucky are we to have people in our town to give their time and do these things so that we can promote Georgetown. Hear, hear to all of them, I say.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. With that, I'll open the floor to questions or speakers for or against. We have Councillor Archer hottest on the button, followed by Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Mayor. 36 years, it's a fair while, isn't it? And I suppose it's not an easy thing to do, and I suppose it's a work of a village, I suppose, isn't it, when you've been able to do that. Volunteers, nobody taking a cut. I think it's sort of grown, you know, and morphed over the years. It's not really what you'd consider traditional folk these days, and I say this in an endearing way. You know, we've got artists that, you know, not long after, as a presenting at our folk festival, they go on to Festivali, you know, and you go to Festivali, costs you an arm and a leg. So I think, you know, that they're really getting a good calibre of artist, and you know, bang for buck, you know, if council went to put this event on, you guarantee it ain't getting done for $20,000. You know, when you have to pay staff and all this sort of thing, I can't quite get to the bottom of what the issue is with the acquittal of the funds. You know, but I don't see that there's a big issue. It's certainly, I can tell you now that they've spent way more than $20,000 on the this year's event. I did attend one of the concerts and it was very good. A lot of free stuff, which is good, you know, and you know, hopefully we can see a bit more of that in future. You know, where people passively sort of participate in the in the event, so I think it's all right. The $20,000, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer, and then we had Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. This is a bit of a head and a bit of a heart couple of statements. So I know exactly what it's like to be on the receiving end of asking council for $20,000, and be given $10,000, and I know that hurts, and people don't like, you don't feel that they get it. Because if they did, then they'd give you what you've asked for, because you know why you need it. You put your heart and soul into the events, and you try and put that across in the applications, and sometimes it doesn't quite land. And I guess one of the concerns for myself is that I've raised this at workshop and when we'd had our sponsorship policy, that Councillor Simone Lowe, has a concern when councillor contributing such a high value in dollar and event organisers aren't contributing as much as council. I sometimes think it should be more of a partnership than a sponsorship in that regard. I really would like to have seen a lot more funding provided in ways of fundraising or funding coming from the Folk Festival directly rather than sales for tickets. So there's that comment. But also in saying that, it is not part of our sponsorship application that there is levels of application that people can apply for and what one must do to achieve that level. So it's always open to interpretation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I would really like to see in the future for neighbourhood house, as everyone else has made, that everyone's sort of putting all the events together. So with that, I've sort of lost my way a little because I mean, this one hurts because I feel that the contribution from the folk festival is less than I would like to see, but we also haven't asked. You can put your hands up, Kristen. I'm just trying to openly share that I'm supportive of the $20,000 application.
Hang on. Point of order to everybody in the public gallery.
So, yes, this is where it's a struggle for me because I do support the Folk Festival. I do support giving them the funding. I struggle with the amount, but I feel that this council have put ourselves in a position where we haven't made it clear. So I think that I'm leaning more towards supporting this motion. So I'm happy to listen to others. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers, Councillor Orr?
Oh, just a question. So looking at the sponsorship accrual forms, were the Folk Festival given the same form as other event applicants?
Yes.
So actually on the form says what was the final attendance for the event? That's a definite question there.
That's the equitable form, correct?
Yeah, so what was the final attendance for the Folk Festival?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me, but I think I wouldn't feel comfortable saying exactly, but the numbers that I've used in the analysis was came from their acquittal.
Yeah, so about, it was about 1,000, was it?
I think that was around, it was around 1,000, and they were a number of hundred to free events that was that weren't ticketed.
Okay. So similar to Simone, our policy is a bit vague in some aspect. So I can see where we have increased their funding from the year before, which is good. And the reason why we do that is so they can produce a bigger and better event and get some more funding behind themselves. So hopefully that's where maybe the $10,000, which is confirmed there, it was flying from last year, and can build more funds moving forward. I think there's a great opportunity there for ticket sales, where you're looking at if it's 1,000 people pay to come for an event, that's $20 a ticket, and some of those events are worth way more than $20. Yeah, and I'll also look at, there is other events in our municipality, because I'm just running 1,000, which is what we said before, do hold events where they hold 500 people and get nothing from the council in other parts of the municipality. So, as I said before, the last one is that I will be supporting this, but I would be looking at slowly reducing these fundings down. My personal opinion is they should be reduced down over a period of time. So giving this funding to them this year, use those funding we've got to build the event up, get some more money behind them so next year they don't need to rely on the council so much. So as an organisation, my personal opinion is that you shouldn't be relying on other organisations all the time for your event. It's ideally if you can be self-funding in the end run. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? I'll speak to the motion. So it's a difficult one, and the community gets very emotionally intertwined in this topic every year we debate it. It seems to get overly emotive. But anyway, let's have a crack at this. We'll see how we go this time around. So it is wonderful that we've finally gotten to the point where we now have three discrete events. And I think that that speaks very well for our events calendar, speaks very well for our tourism strategy, which is wonderful. To me, the question, though, is whether or not we're getting a sufficiently appropriate return on that investment for the three different character of events. And granted, again, they are all rather different in nature. And so when I look at the chronology of events that have unfolded, so the last time we gave the Tamworth Valley Folk Festival a significant, I think it was huge, a doubling in the amount of money, mm-hmm. with the promised, and it may just be me, it may just be my expectation that there would be a real uptick in the commercial. No, I'm not engaging you. You know, you are not invited to comment. There would be a significant uptick in the commercial outcome of... I'm giving you a clear caution that you're not invited to participate. You're a gallery, you have to be silent on the issue. And granted, 1,000 people attended over the three... That's not what the figures say.
3,000
people. That's not what the figures say. That's not what
3,
the figures...
3,000 people.
That's right. Do you want to clarify that? Is it 3,000 or 2,000?
The question in the...
Again, that's your second warning. That's your second warning.
Sorry, infuriated.
Second warning. Yes.
Mayor, I would have to check the acquittal, but the figures that I have in this were either from the application or from the acquittal. But I'm sure that the acquittal said it was 1,000 people were ticketed and up to a number of 100 people were involved in this.
Which is helpful. So we're going to stick with the documentation. Again, Ms. Attle, please don't make me ask you to leave. I really don't want to do that. If you will just observe and not participate, I'm giving you a final warning. Please, I don't want to be the bad cop. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. And so here's the way that my mind looks at this. And again, don't take this... Personally, I like what you are doing. I've never said to the contrary. But when I see that there's 1,000 people who've attended, that's not what the fee remission says. It's not what I've been provided. You've got a contrary number there?
The acquittal asked for how many people from outside the community came. That answer was 1,000.
All right.
I will leave.
Thank you, Mrs. Atwell.
Mr.
I appreciate you.
Mr.
Thank you for leaving.
Yep.
Hold on. Please. I'm not finished.
It does say...
So we've looked at the documentation. The documentation does say around 1,000 people, I guess. From outside of
That's
the community.
Right.
Okay, so 1,000 people outside. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. Appreciate that. So I look at this and I go, okay, that's on one level, that's encouraging. But another level, is that 1,000 people or is that 1,000 ticket sales? It's ambiguous. It doesn't actually highlight that detail. If it's 1,000 ticket sales over 3 days, does that mean that 333 people attended three events over the 3 days? It's unanswered. It is critical information that we need as your representatives to determine whether but it's a reasonable request. And again, I'm not engaging with the gallery. I'm not engaging with the gallery. This is where my mental process works. Are we getting a good return on our investment? As I said already, I like the event. I like what it does for our calendar of events. That is great. And when you contrast that with the appropriate or the contrasting visitation or contrasting attendance of the other two events that we fund to the same value, I think you'd agree with me that you're effectively getting half the value. You are. You're getting half the value for the money that you've spent. So I personally think that we're overpaying. I think we're overpaying for what the event delivers. It is a good event. I'm not saying it's not. And I like the fact that the funding is contestable. I think that's healthy for any community. So from my personal view, I don't think that the 20,000 plus the event remissions plus the 2,000 we provided for the website constitutes good value on any level. I just think it's contrary to good governance. So to that extent, I'm not going to support this motion, and I will also move a foreshadowed motion, which is the officer's recommendation for $15,000. I'd like to continue to support this event. I think that that is good, but clearly, in my view, we are simply overpaying, and I think that that needs to be carefully weighed up. That's my 5 cents worth. Any other speakers? Councillor Orr?
Just clarifying. So we're the motion is for $20,000. No mention about the fee remissions at all? It's a
given. That was the preamble. It's not mentioned in it, but it is assumed,
well, nothing
based on what Councillor Barwick said, that the other issues will remain in place. In other words, the fee remissions will remain in place.
No.
So you're saying that the $20,000 will cover all halls as well? The hall hires and all that sort of thing?
No. They will get to $20,000 and you charge them the whole fee separately.
Yeah. Okay, so that is a remission.
Yeah.
They pay for the fees. Outside of, yeah, you giving them the $20,000.
So should we modify your motion to clarify that?
I'm happy with that.
You're happy with
it? Definitely free remission. That's my question is answered.
But be very clear on that.
I'd like some clarification. Is that so? It's exactly the same as what it was this year, where they get charged for the hall, they get charged for the So they get granted $20,000, and then they've got to pay $1,000, for example, for the hall, and then same as this year.
Okay, so let's be very clear then that the motion reflects that. You get $20,000 in total, and then you're back charged for the facilities hire, that sort of thing, and you pay for that out of the $20,000. Is everyone of the same understanding? I think everyone is. Good. That's clarification. That's helpful. All right. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to add on this topic? Councillor Dawson?
I attended the most recent Folk Festival. Had a great time. It was an excellent event, and they put on a really good product. It's a fantastic time. No dispute with that whatsoever. Quite a few locals there at the events that I attended. Quite a few people from outside of town. Great event. Excellent event. The only concern that I have is each year we seem to get back to the same point where we'd like to be able to reconcile what council's contribution was against what the community received and what it was spent on. Now, as a councillor, every one of us councillors, our role and function is, some people say transparency, what we are here for is to have a clear accountability for our ratepayers' money and how it's spent. I still don't believe that I have enough information to support giving this money an increase again, up to $20,000. We went from 10,000 by CPI, then we went to 20, and then we went to 20 again. We're still not seeing the information that we're asking for the acquittal. Now, if that's our fault, of course we're not asking the right questions, then maybe we need to review it. It seems strange. I think it seems strange that we can ask for acquittals from other groups that we give smaller amounts of money to, and they don't seem to have a concern with providing the information. At the moment, I can't see that level of acquittal that is enough for me to support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. All right, any other speakers? Otherwise, I'll hand it back to the mover to close. Anyone else? Councillor Barwick to close.
Ah, dear Mr. Chairman, I might offend a few people, but to me, there were the questions that were asked on that form, and I said in the workshop, our form needs to be redone and rewritten, because the Folk Festival answered the questions they were asked. How many people outside of the municipality attended the Folk Festival? 1,000 they put. Right? They answered the question, and you are taking it as only 1,000 people turning up and 100 people coming to from locals. The whole thing about this festival was the festival is handed and handled and done in halls. We have halls that only put in a certain amount of people. that can go into those venues. It's not like having something on Regent Square where it's open for all and everyone to turn up, right? It's not an area where you can probably have, like in the hall, 220 people are the legal amount of people that can go into the Memorial Hall at one time. Yet you have sat here at times, put it in a document and said 250. Right, well, I believe the item on the screen on the wall was 220. That's a full hall, right? And that hall was filled on many occasions at this folk festival. I look at how you, I personally see a lot of personalities here. We're not here to pick personalities. We're represented here to work with for the entire community, to look at the benefits, not pick and nibble at issues like 9,000, 10,000, how much whatever that happens. I look at a one day, this is how I see it, one day, beautiful function we have here, versus 3 days, which fills the town, fills the hotels, fills the shops, gets serviced, etc. Versus, and that's a $20,000 one as well as the first one, and a $70,000 budgeted solstice event that only brought in 2,000 people. And that was $70,000, and we're sitting here quibbling over having an event for $20,000 that fills this town up for the weekend. I don't know where the logic is. I have no idea. We should be forgetting personalities and moving on and supporting this. This function. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. All right, councillors, you are voting on the motion on the board, which says that council provides $20,000 sponsorship to the Georgetown Folk Club towards the Taylor Valley Folk Festival event to be held in Georgetown on the 16th, 17th and 18th of January 2026. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. Councillor Barwick, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr against. Councillor Keyser and Councillor Dawson. The motion is carried 5-2.
Thank you.
Item 10.3, the annual report of the audit panel for 2024-2025, as well as the confirmed minutes of the 12th of March 2025. This is a relatively recent event where we are now adding reports from the various different quarterly audit panel meetings that we hold, as well as the annual report, which includes the work plan for the audit panel of 25-26, as well as requests an independent internal audit of our sponsorships and grants programs for 25-26, and to accept the confirmed minutes of the audit panel for the 12th of March 2025. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Orr.
Just with one slight amendment in the document.
Yes.
Page 195, just put me down as a proxy. As spoken at workshop.
Okay, sorry, we'll add that. So I'm noting you as not the mover, but as an
request. I'm happy to move as well.
You are the mover, and we add you as proxy. Thank you very much. Can I call for a seconder, please? Councillor Dawson is our seconder. Councillor Orr, take it away.
The audit panel is an institution of our council. As a proxy, I attended one meeting when two other councillors were wasn't able to attend, and quite enjoyed the session. I enjoy this, enjoying the audit panel.
It was good to have you along. Councillor Dawson. It's the motion on the board. Lee, if you can just scroll down to the actual motion, please. There we go. Councillor Dawson.
Okay, so this motion, not just the minutes, it actually includes the work plan for the next 12 months as well. So the report seeks Council's endorsement for the annual report of 24-25 and the audit panel annual work plan for 25-26 and to provide Council with a copy of the confirmed audit panel minutes from the meeting dated the 12th of March in accordance with the Georgetown Council Audit Panel Charter. So the motion reads, or the recommendation, the Council receives the annual report for the audit panel of 24-25, endorses the annual work plan for the audit panel in 25-26, requests an independent internal audit of Council sponsorship and grants programs to be included in the 25-26 internal audit schedule, and accepts the confirmed minutes of the audit panel for the 12th of March 2025 meeting. I put the motion forward.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. I'll open that to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions? Councillor Barwick.
Question, Mr. Chairman. The requests an independent internal audit of Council sponsorships and grants was just something that was suggested at a workshop when we were discussing this sort of thing. Now, it says it's to be an independent internal audit. Will that be tabled at a public meeting, the results of that at a public meeting of the audit panel?
Through the Chair to the Director of Corporate and Community.
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair. Generally, the internal audit is a report to the confidential meeting of the audit panel and isn't released to the public. So in normal circumstances, those reports wouldn't be issued. However, if there was a request from Council, I imagine we would be able to release those reports as that report and the officer's recommendations.
Well, the only reason I ask that is because of what's gone on here today and what's been going on in the last couple of months about these applications and what's been put on tape today, I believe it should be a public document, but yeah. Don't know whether you can add that in there.
Thank you. Take that as a comment. Thank you, Councillor.
Only as a comment?
Yes.
So I can't add anything onto that motion. Ask you to add it onto the motion that would be public.
Well, you'd have to move a motion if you wanted to.
Well, why can't I ask the mover if he would add that as to be able to come back to the council table?
So, Councillor, all you've received a request for an amendment to your motion. Do you accept the amendment? You may.
I would rather wait to see what the internal audit looks like before releasing it, so I won't accept that.
Thank you. Your request for an amendment is declined. Thank you. Any other speakers to the motion, questions? I'll hand it back to the mover to close. Councillor Orr to close.
Nothing further to add, so I put the motion.
Well, then I'll put that to the vote. Councillors, you have all 4 points of this motion in front of you, which is to receive the report, endorse the work plan, request an internal independent audit of grants and sponsorships, and accept the confirmed minutes of the 12th of March meeting. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, and Councillor Dawson against. Councillor Barwick. Motion is carried 6-1. Thank you very much. Budget. Cheers. Thank you for coming. Organisation, Section 11, Organisational Performance and Strategy. Item 11.1, this is the consideration of entering a lease at Esplanade Lulworth Public Recreation Site. Previously, this was a licence, but now we have to reapply in full. It is for a peppercorn $1 rent. The recommendation is that in respect to the corner of Esplanade and Beach Street confirms the intention to enter into a 10-year lease and authorise the Mayor and General Manager to execute the lease on behalf of Council. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? One more time. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Dawson is our mover, seconded by Councillor Lowe. Councillor Dawson.
Before us we have the opportunity to enter into a lease so we can formalise again, the community area at Lulworth. Very supportive of this. It's something that we have let lapse, it seems, and we need to re-enter into a 10-year lease. So this motion effectively authorises the Mayor and the GM to execute a lease on behalf of Council, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson.
Nothing further to add.
Hello. Man, I couldn't even read my own writing there. Thank you, Councillor. Any speakers for or against the questions? Let's just put that one. Yes, Councillor.
Yes, so just note that the office staff are going to just review the exact boundaries of the of the area. There has been some additional work done over the previous years. About 15 years ago, there used to be a lovely hall there that was removed. Since then, the area has been redeveloped. As a community area, I would note that Lulworth and Temeshan Bay area is one of the fastest growing areas in our municipality outside the town itself, Lowhead or Georgetown. Maybe Hill might eclipse that soon. And with our Crown leases in the area, this is probably a very, very small one compared to other areas like Weymouth and Bellingham and Beechford and so on. So there is opportunity that we could, part of the TCP, is look at doing some further expansion there with some more community facilities. But at this stage, I'm happy to support this 10-year lease.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. Any other speakers? Otherwise, I'll put it back to a vote. All right, let's just put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We're unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Tamara. Section 12, Offices of the Mayor, matters of involvement for the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, and for councillors. In this case, Councillor Orr, thank you for making your submissions. You all know the routine. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Barwick is our mover, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Barwick, take it away.
There is a question I'd like to ask.
Yes.
There was the NAIDOC week was presented on, must have been in July 7 or something.
Yep.
But it's not to Councillor Orr, it's a question on that NAIDOC week. I had a lady that came in because it was to do with the heading cultural burning.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in thinking that they, you know, how we talk about how the Aborigine can save lands and stop fires and
yes,
do all that, came in thinking that that's what the day was going to be about. And when she introduced herself and said that she was from one of our out-of-town country areas, the lady was asked, and what ties do you have with the Indigenous heritage? And her comment was, I don't have ties, I've come to listen to what the burning was about. Well, it was really only, she was a bit disappointed, and more to the point that she was asked what relation she had with the Indigenous heritage. More disappointed at the fact that it was only welcome to country when she got there, because she was thinking she was going to learn something. So maybe we might need to, at the same time, when we do start this off or talk about the burning, that we say what it's about.
Yes, I think Councillor Dawson, you did attend some of those sessions. Maybe you can comment.
No, I was unable to attend the session, and I had similar comments through to a couple of the officers that organised the NAIDOC Week smoking ceremony, and it was referred to as a cultural burning, which was incorrect. So I think even for it to carry on through until this agenda, we need to actually go back over and have a look at how we represent ourselves. It was never ever intended to be a cultural burning. It was always to be a smoking ceremony. It shouldn't be referred to as that. Flag raising morning tea was the same as what we do each year. So it was a mistake. It needs to be captured and learned from.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Ashley, you're our seconder. Any questions or anything you'd like to add?
No, not really.
Thank you. Don't need to.
Through the chair.
Councillor.
Through the chair, the Deputy Mayor. The National General Assembly of Local Government in Canberra. Any outcomes, any good positives out there?
I would say that it was very similar this year as it was last year. It went over a number of days and I was crook for half of them, which didn't help. It was minus 5 degrees outside and 30-odd degrees in almost every building we went into, so it wasn't the most fun time for anyone that attended or anything. Rick Dunn and myself both went up. We got there on Tuesday, 24th of June, at 8 a.m, so I started with a 4 o'clock out of bed to get to Launceston, ready to get on the plane I'll be there in good time. The National General Assembly welcome was pretty much, we had the regional forum on the day at the National Convention Centre. Then there was a little bit of a cocktail-y type evening that night for an hour or so. I can't remember that we actually attended that. I think we went out for a meal because it had been a pretty long day. 25th of June, which was my birthday, I really had a great time up there. We went to Welcome to Country in one of the National General Assembly halls. We had Selena Walker, who was the co-chair of the ACT Reconciliation Council. She spoke for 20-odd minutes. And we had the AGA President's address from Mayor Matt Burnett. It was his first time to address the forum as the president, so he was interesting. We had the Honourable Kirsten McBain. She was pretty much the federal local government and territories minister. She was interesting. She spoke last year, and she's one of the people that Andrew and myself met with last year in the hope of achieving greater funding for the Aquatic Centre. A lot of the speakers. We had the Governor-General again, Sam Austin. It was her first time last year, and she was welcomed back with open arms. She's a beautiful speaker. She told us a lot of the things that she'd done around Aboriginal and regional communities, which was really interesting. Mark Boris, he was quite interesting speaker. I'll get Rick to speak a little bit on that. I actually asked Rick if he'd be able to prepare a few notes on our attendance this year so that he could, so when this opportunity came up that he could actually put a few things together. Over the next couple of days, it was very similar to previous years. There were some panel sort of discussions that were interesting. A lot of it based around, there's a lot of commonality between regional councils, although our issues are different, they are similar in the way that we respond in emergency management. We looked at things that there are some communities there that have been flooded 3 years in a row, there's others that are in drought for 10 years in a row. You know, there's ones that, you know, fire is an issue. You know, every community has their challenges and how they respond. It was really interesting to speak to some of the people that were in the what do we call them, where all the well, the offerings of the sponsors were, and we spoke to a couple of different groups in there, and they were really interesting to see how each different group responds to each different community. Like, small communities like ours tend to look after their own a little bit, but if we're burned out en masse, the amount of support that can come in from from the ADF and other groups is really amazing, and these sort of conferences are really handy to network and connect up with people. Some of the sort of end of day sessions that we had, we were able to speak to a few people, and there's one deputy mayor from, I can't remember the council, both Rick and I spoke to this lady, and she asked what was happening in Georgetown, and she, I think she was from Victoria, and I said, oh, we're about to build an aquatic centre. Oh, hey, well, tell us all about that. And so we had a conversation and explained to her the size and sort of scope of what we're trying to build. She said, that's funny. She said, that sounds like the same sort of thing we're trying to build. Okay, there's a six-lane pool with a gym and da-da-da. I said, okay, how much is yours expected to be? She said, $45 million. Wow. I thought, well, here we are just about to embark on a build at 17.5. And I thought, if we land this, we've done a pretty good job. So she's actually accessed our website and got the information on our build, and she's trying to now going to talk to their people and say, well, how come these can do it for this price but we can't? So it kind of it helps others just to attend these sort of things, and it was interesting for all of us. I'll hand over to Ricky. He's probably got a few more comments to say. I'll just tend to prattle on a bit, but I think sorry.
Let's hear it.
I think it's awesome for someone from our council to attend each year, and next year I think we should send a couple of other people to have a good look and learn a bit more.
Rick?
Yeah, thanks, Deputy Mayor. Councillors, I'm preparing a summary document which includes a range of different papers that were presented on over the course of the 3 days as well. Typically, they're split up into some of the categories that are spoken around housing, transport, skills and education, and emergency management. They are quite informative, as the Deputy Mayor said. The way that different regions deal with things is quite different. Even around voting on the agenda, there was various views from city to country, where there was significant debate around, you know, a fast train between Melbourne and Sydney. There was much more debate around the housing crisis in regional areas and the skill shortages. So the distance between some of those communities in terms of what their priorities were pretty substantial, but it was really informative to speak with a lot of people from regional Australia who face very, very similar things to what many councils do in this state. One of the outcomes from the forum that we attended around the housing was that the Mayor of Devonport spoke to the Minister that spoke at that forum, and they're looking to organise, or the Mayor of Devonport will arrange a round table with the support of the federal government to come and talk about the challenges that we have in terms of housing, so that hopefully maybe the feds can step in, because everyone's talking about it but no one seems to have that golden bullet, silver bullet solution. But I hope to get the summary documents out to you probably by the end of this week. But no, I found it to be informative and really interesting as to what's going on in many, many areas. I think that the councillor from that area that in Victoria that Councillor Dawson spoke about is actually going to contact us about our pool build. So hopefully we can share some wisdom with them.
The housing issues and the stark differences between some of the concerns that some communities have, the differences were, Norfolk Island and islands that are right up the north, that their great goal is to have three houses transported to that island, and that's the biggest housing boom they've had in 30 years. They've got multiple families living in single homes. And then the stark difference to outer sort of ring area in Sydney, where they're building like 50,000 houses a year, and it's just they can't get in front with the infrastructure quick enough to get the houses down, because as soon as the new bit of sewerage infrastructure is in, the houses go up. But they're not just building houses. The whole issue is a school and a hospital and everything else. The whole growth all just comes on them, and they're growing bigger than Tasmania ever would, like in a year. Yeah. And it's crazy to see the differences and some of the concerns that one small community would like something and others No, they just...
Great. And if I may, firstly, thank you very much for your attendance and a belated happy birthday to you.
They sang happy birthday to me. I think it was John O'Donohue and a couple of others did it when we went out for dinner.
Sounds excellent. Any other questions from anyone? Councillor Balk to close.
Nothing further,
James. Let's put it to the vote. All those in favour, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion is unanimous. Okay, that leads us to section 13 on petitions, and there are nil. Section 14 on notices of motions.
I would like to move something, even though there's no notice of it, but my motion is council obtain an annual lease valuation from a land valuer qualified under Section 4 of the Land Valuers Act 2001 before council activates any lease of council-owned land.
Land valuation, so we've got it on there. Let's just first make sure that we capture it. So let me know when you're ready, Lou. She's working in the DocAssembler portal, and once she's finished it, then it'll display it.
Excuse me, through the chair of the general manager.
Yeah.
I'm just looking, and Councillor Archer may be able to help as well. Looking at the Division 2 motions of the... in the legislation, written notice of motion, the council may give to the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting written notice of motion. Section 20, motions without notice.
This is motions without notice.
Council may, during a meeting, move a motion which notice has not been given in accordance with Regulation 19. So 19 says that you've got to do it within 7 days. Am I reading this right?
That's
okay. I'm thinking whether the new changes have come into effect.
No idea.
Yeah, look.
But I'm equally happy in the spirit of in the spirit of the meeting to capture that under questions with or without notice. I think that's equally appropriate.
I just don't know whether it's a local motion anymore. That's. I know. We haven't adjusted our agenda. In accordance with motions without notice.
So that means basically...
Am I reading it right or wrong? I don't know.
I can't comment on stop my...
So this is probably why we never got to discuss those amendments on those meeting regulations.
Point, what are we debating?
Yeah, hold on, we're just going to review and make sure that we are in...
Division
I totally two. Acknowledge what you're trying to do. Division it's a great idea. Motions. Let's just make sure that we're following the right process.
You can just bear with us for a second.
Just bear with us. Just be patient.
I tried on. It's hard to go to the regulations because they still keep getting the old ones. I'm going to try to get on the. I don't know, what are the new regs called?
On our portal, we're in our spot. Motion to insert. First of all, no, Councillor May, during meeting of the motion, you cannot bring it in process. Yes. Councillor May, you have to say, no, it's a circulation motion.
Right, okay.
There's two words that say I can.
No, it's saying you can move it without notice.
Well, let's just get some confirmation of that.
Councillor May, during meeting, third motion without notice, which which notice hasn't been given, so the only given notice is just the motion.
So you can't basically bring new motions up?
No, it's not.
I can't get them regulations up here.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we err on the side of caution and process this as per what we suspect, although we can't confirm 100%? Do you mind? On one level, I'm totally sensitive. I think it's a good motion, but that's irrelevant. I just want to follow the right procedure. We're all learning here. How about we do this?
Would it be? I hear what you're saying. I know. Hear what the Rebs are saying.
Yeah.
But we've already been told that the agreement's going to be site lease.
No, that's irrelevant.
It's
irrelevant. It's about following the meeting procedures as prescribed under the new legislation.
No, but it's not relevant. It is relevant to the motion.
No, not in this meeting. It's not in this meeting.
It says
in this meeting's agenda. Winston, again, just forgive me here. Let's just process this one after this meeting. So I'm gonna decline this one.
Through the chair, my understanding is that it does need to be in relation for it to be dealt with now, in relation to the current meeting. But we can accept it and deal with it at the next meeting.
Yeah, but then again, what's the point of accepting it?
We can. Yeah.
Okay, we accept it as a motion for the next meeting. That's it. That's all we can do.
And then it's recorded. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Now, listen, again, since we're all learning, and because I genuinely do not know the answer, but erring on the side of caution, is there a seconder for this motion?
I will.
Thank you. Councillor Barwick, HB as the seconder. Okay, we covered our bases. We'll process that one at the next meeting. The mover is Councillor Archer. The seconder is Councillor Barwick. All right, section 15, councillors' questions with or without notice. Note the response provided to Councillor Barwick from the 24th of June regarding Secret Park.
Before you buzz on, I've got a question.
Go for it.
And the question is, who received the appeal of Mr. Nielsen under policy number 8.11.1, right of appeal, and when will the outcome of the appeal be given to Mr. Nielsen?
I have no idea whatsoever. Yeah. Hang on a second.
My question is
whether or not you have this question in the appropriate agenda item, whether that is an agenda item that should be considered
but
enclosed,
sure, you can
or
have
agenda
to
item.
Ask a question.
Well, hang on a second. Let's get
well,
some
have
advice.
A look and see if we can't
Let's
ask
get a little
a
bit
question.
Of advice.
Are we on section 15 or is it a question?
Who received the appeal from Mr. Nielsen?
Questions about notice to be closed, and then we'll capture the question.
Any other questions? There are none. That leads us to section 16, which is closed meeting. So my watch tells me that it is 3:13 p.m. Can I call for a mover and a seconder to move into closed meeting? Our mover is Councillor Dawson, seconded by Councillor Ashley. We'll be voting on minutes of the closed item of the closed meeting on the 24th of June, as well as a leave of absence request. All those in favour of moving it to close, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
We are unanimous. Okay, so for those who are on the audio recording, bear with us. We'll do our closed items and we will rejoin you when we exit closed, and if there are any key decisions that need to be recorded on the public record. So thank you, and we'll be right back.
And then we'll make a determination.